We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mike Chen, let's ride.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. It's another full boat show. I was looking at it. We have had a lot of full or almost full shows like for the last month, and it's been really fun to kind of stretch our legs a little bit and have some fun. All-Star Week is always guest week on this show, and we have had a bunch of great guests come through these doorways over the last 3 days, and that will not change tonight. We got some folks coming in. We're going to have some fun. Cameron Smith will be in here. He kind of broke the Jabari Parker news, and he did it on air with us on Friday. So we thought that we'd invite him in and talk some more Jabari Parker with him. Our friend Shakia Taylor, who the last time she was on the show, a lot of people, the feedback was great. She's an incredible writer. I look forward to having her on again. She's done another great story, this time for the Hardball Times. Before that, it was Fangraphs, and she's just a lot of fun. So we're going to talk with her at 8 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, my people are coming through. I'm so excited about this. It's two guys that do a show for Stadium, the two of my brothers from over there, Tyler and Dave. So you'll get to meet them at 9 o'clock. So that means, well, what's happening in the 6 o'clock hour, Lawrence? Well, we had Ask Herb on standby, okay? We knew that we were going to try to find a way to fit it in, but we had a guest that canceled on us at the last minute, and we were like, well, we were ready for Ask Herb anyway, so we were going to do it. Herb Lawrence, the executive producer of this show, used to have his own weekly segment. We haven't really found time to do it anymore, so we thought that we would do a special. Here we go. Ask Herb returns.
Baby.
It's time to Ask Herb.
Did you ever Herbie Lawrence sighting at all today?
I did see him today. Yeah, he was down a couple booths.
Where you can seek advice from the Score's very own Herb Lawrence.
Usually when I'm having sex lately, I have to close my eyes and I think of other women. What's wrong with it? Is that good or is that bad or what am I doing?
I have no problem with that at all. It's not a natural thing to get married.
Herb Lawrence.
You best not wear a Cubs hat at a Hawks game.
670 The Score's personal life coach.
No grown man to wear a t-shirt jersey.
Everyone needs a life coach.
I enjoy any time I get on the air and to give unabashed advice to these people. Let's go.
Herb Lawrence, a.k.a. The Realness.
I call big girls Avis. They try harder.
No topic is off limits.
Never had sex with a dude. Still think that's bad for me.
Ask Herb.
Sunday's my day. I want to sit there. I want to watch the Bears. Okay. This is big. Help me.
On Saturday, this is me and you, baby. Saturday, me and you's day. Sunday, that's on me.
Ask Herb.
Baby.
Only during the People's Hour with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Let's go.
Sound effect, that's even better. If you've got a question for Herb Lawrence, 312-644-6767 is the number. You can also text it in at 670-11. Oh, this is going to be fun. There's a bunch of questions via Twitter that are already loaded up. Some of them are Score employees that decided that they had some questions for you. Herbie, welcome back to Ask Herb.
Thank you for having me again, Lawrence. It's always enjoyable.
Yeah, you get to give unabashed advice to these people.
Damn straight.
Which is great. And I know that you have a lot of things that are on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that want to talk a ton of Illini with you. I don't know how much of that we're going to do, but I'm sure we'll fit it in. My question is, was Taylor Rooks on the show because she's Illini royalty?
Partly, but also she's like real royalty. She's Like you were saying, she's going to blow up. I mean, she already has kind of in New York. But you know how you meet somebody and you can tell that they're special, that they're something different about them?
They got that thing.
Yeah. When I saw her yesterday downstairs, I was like, yeah. I mean, I had met her before when she was here like doing Big Ten Network stuff, I think still while she was a student at Illinois. And then she came here to work Big Ten Network. I was like, yeah, she's cool. But when I met her yesterday, I was like, yes, she's got something.
She's got that thing, and it's going to pay off. She's going to be a big star. And I was happy that she was able to come here and be a part of the show. If you want to text in a question for Herbie, 67011 is the way that you do that. We love this segment. We haven't done it in a while, so if you got questions, he's got answers. Let's start with this. Zach tweets, what did you think about Manfred calling out Mike Trout?
I thought it was very, very poor. Let that man live. I understand he was in a form where he felt comfortable on what the Dan Patrick show, kind of giving a long-form answer. But if Mike Trout wants to go hunting in the offseason and just be Mike Trout, don't denigrate him. He's your biggest star. You, the commissioner, and your people have to find a way to shine a light on him, even if he doesn't want that light to be shown on him. So, yeah, what the Angels did today, kind of like going back at the commissioner and saying, you know what, I like Mike as the way he is, quiet, unassuming, and just great at baseball. That's the way I want Mike Trout to be. If Mike Trout needs to carry baseball on his back, then baseball isn't ready for Mike Trout.
It's funny because I understand the need for personality and stars, but I don't want anyone to manufacture that. If that's not who you, it's the same thing with Chris Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Bryant is boring.
Very boring. Goes home, drinks his milk.
Yeah.
Talks to his wife, plays Scrabble.
But he seems like a good dude, and as long as he's a good dude, what does it matter? And the same thing for Mike Trout.
Yeah.
It's the other spectrum of the Javier Baez stuff for me. That's who he is.
Yes.
That's who Wilson Contreras is. They're on the other side of this. I want to allow them to be themselves, and I want Chris Bryant and Mike Trout to be themselves.
I think the last time I was on Ask Herb, we did Tim Anderson. Kind of like he was in that shell last year and his friend had died, and so he kind of wasn't playing well. And then we saw early in the year he was having fun. He was being the Tim Anderson that he knows he is, and you kind of could see it on the field that he's a outspoken, gregarious guy, and that's the type of player that he is. Let him be that. And like you were saying with Javi and Wilson and all these other players, those are the type of personalities you want them to be, and you want them to promote those type of guys if they want to be promoted. And if Mike Trout is like, hey, I want to go to Eagles games, I want to hunt, and I want to spend time with my family in Jersey, forget your commercials, let him do that and just show his highlights a little bit more. Like you wake up in the morning and it's like, okay, Mike Trout did this while you were sleeping.
Yeah, because he's doing something every night.
Yeah.
Because the guy, he has a chance to be a 12 war player this year.
It's ridiculous. He's already matched the war, B war he had last year, which I thought he was great, even though he missed like 40 games. He's one of the best players of our time. He's probably the best player of our time and one of the best players of all time. And we're lucky that we get a chance to see Mike Trout, LeBron James, Aaron Rodgers, all in our time.
Tiger Woods,
yeah, all in our time. Serena Williams.
Mike Trout, before it's all said and done, might be the dude. Like, he might be the guy.
He hasn't even reached his prime yet. He's 26.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. 312-644-6767 is the number. Up to Milwaukee and Steven. Steven, you're on Ask Herb. What's your question for Herbie?
Hey, Herb. Love you guys' show. Lawrence, longtime listener. Fairly sensitive question, but I have a young son, huge into sports, especially baseball history. And recently we heard on, I believe it was Julie DeCaro's show, interview with one of the heads of the Negro Baseball League in Kansas City. And I guess every city I travel to, I bring something back from Major League Baseball for my son. But there's, you know, it's sensitive because, you know, obviously it's hard for people to be proud of why there was a Negro Baseball League. And I'm not sure if that's some swag that I should be bringing home for my son.
Well, let me ask you a question, Steven. Yeah. Are you a white?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I think that what you're trying to do is admirable. If you're a baseball fan, the history of the Negro League is really important. So I don't think that you should feel bad about wanting to share that with your son. I actually think it's really important. But now I'll let the man answer it. Herbie?
Yeah, I was asked this question on Twitter a couple of weeks ago because I had a Chicago American Giants shirt that I bought from Negro League Baseball Museum. And he was like, can I wear that shirt? It was a white dude who was asking, can he wear, you know, Negro League stuff? I was like, yeah, definitely, 100% wear Negro League stuff. It's, you're sharing the history of baseball. That is baseball history right there. We all know the story of why they couldn't play. And the more people who do wear Negro League stuff, the more people are going to ask, okay, what type of shirt is that? Who are the Grays? Who are the Chicago American Giants? Who are these teams that I don't know? And then you can give them a history lesson, especially if you get that shirt and you go down to the museum, you can learn exactly what those players were and who they were, what they were about. And Bob Kendrick, I think he was talking about.
The president of the Negro League Museum.
Yeah, I went down there with Tanny and Brennan like a couple years ago and then this past year. And it's a great place. If you're ever in the Kansas City area or if you just want to take a trip somewhere that's close, it's like an 8-hour drive or an hour flight, Negro League Baseball Museum is the place to go.
And I would add, it has an effect on players who aren't black. AJ Pierzynski was on a national telecast last week talking about how important it was for him to go and when the White Sox went to the Negro League Museum after they won the World Series, how much he really enjoyed the history lesson that he got. So I say that as long as you're adding that lesson, get the kids some Negro League swag, man. I think that it's a good thing to do. It will make him stand out, and he'll have to share the history to explain why he's got the swag on in the first place. Yeah. And I think that whenever we can share that stuff, it's a good thing.
Especially, yeah, like I think the people don't want to, you know, step on culture or appropriate culture. They're kind of sensitive to doing that. But also allies. We need allies to tell the story also. Like, not just only black players or black people saying, hey, this is great, you should go here. We want some white people, Puerto Rican, all ethnicities to say, you know what, it is great, and this is why. I'll give you a history lesson on it, too, without, you know, saying this is my culture, too. But it is your history, though, because it is American history.
See how you did that? 312-644-6767 is the number if you'd like to jump in with a question for Herbie. This one is from Prince Machiavelli, who says, on the subject of hot dogs, we need to know Herbie's spot for the best deal on dog and fries.
I'm not really a huge hot dog guy, but if I did, it would be at U.S. Cellular Field or whatever it's
guaranteed
called.
Rate.
Guaranteed rate on Wednesdays.
Dollar Dog Day.
Dollar Dog Day.
And premium dogs, $2.50,
right? $2.50, yeah. I used to go, like every single Wednesday day game because I had the opportunity to do it. Now they play night games usually on Wednesdays. So that was my favorite thing to do. But if you're going in the city, I don't know. I've only gone to a certain amount of places. I've been to Gene and Jude's. That's really too far for me. It's like River Forest or River Oaks or whatever. It's good. It's all right. It's not, you know, I'm not going out there for a dog. I live in the city.
Like if you're there, maybe, but not, you're not going to make a special trip.
Yeah. I just go to this place called Choppers. Usually I get a...
You love Choppers.
Because I get a chop back. It's delicious. Double cheeseburger, fries, some coleslaw. But if I'm also there and I don't feel like a chop pack, I'll hook up with a regular
You never hot. Don't feel like a chop pack.
I mean, if I'm in that area, you know, it's North Avenue and Halsted, I believe it is.
No, it's like North Avenue and Ashland.
Ashland. See, I get Halsted and Ashland messed up. I don't know why. But yeah, it's like just north of North Avenue on Ashland. Man, you could smell that thing like right when you get off the highway. Like, man, let me go to Choppers.
It's actually kind of a good like little area, like that area right there, because you got Hollywood Grill. Yep. If you're out there late at night, there's another place I forget that's right on the northern side of North Avenue. You can go out, and then if you've been doing a little too much, there's a couple places where you can settle down.
And down the street is that place, Mott Street, that had the drink named after us.
That's right.
Like Ashland and north of Division.
Yeah, so shout out to Mott Street for that. We do appreciate it.
They don't serve hot dogs there. They serve a delicious burger, the best burger in the city, the Mott Street burger.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Better than Archival.
Wow, that's strong. Homer Glenn and Eli. Eli, you're on Ask Herb.
Yeah, guys, this is more of a suburban thing, and okay. I can't stand it. I just want to know Herb's thoughts.
I'm from
the
there.
Intersections with left on Green Arrow only.
Do I like them?
Yeah.
No, they're terrible. But I understand the need for them because people took advantage of the regular arrow, you know, when you're got the left arrow and then it goes to yellow and then it stops and then it's regular traffic goes through the green. And then people are just mulling about in the middle of the intersection and then the red light hits and then 20 seconds later, that guy finally turns left and he's messing up everybody's traffic. I think that was a necessity because people are dumb drivers. So they give them a specific instructions. There's one right here down on Lake in Michigan where it's you specifically have to turn left at the beginning of the transaction.
Now I don't know, like maybe my frustration is misplaced, but I was always taught that you can left turn one way to one way.
Yes, 100%.
And it really frustrates me when people are at a light stopped and it's like, turn, you can turn.
Yeah, people not knowing the traffic rules is an annoying thing, especially down here. There's a bunch of one-way streets and people just sit in that left lane like, please turn. Please turn. And you're honking the horn. They're like, okay, I can't do anything.
Yes, you can. Unless the rule, I don't think the laws have changed, but I always was taught that one way to one way, you can turn left on red, but whatever. Okay, so this one is from Kelsey. We're in the middle of Ask Herb right now. As a Bears fan, is there anything to worry about with Roquan Smith's contract situation? Also, you know what? I'll let you answer that part first, and then I'll ask you part two.
I don't believe so. I think the people ahead of him and behind him haven't signed yet. It's a slotting deal. So I think like four out of the top 10 have only signed. So he has to wait to see where his money is going to land up. So he has to wait for the guy behind him or the guy in front of him to set the market and they'll slot into where that spot is right there.
Part two of this question is at the end of the year, what rank is Allen Robinson in touchdowns and receiving yards?
In the whole NFL.
Yes.
Like 20th.
That's pretty good. If Allen Robinson's 20th in touchdowns, the Bears had a good year.
Yeah, I don't think he's above average wide receiver. Nothing special. And the quarterback, I have not seen a thing where I'm like, okay, Mitch has something. Usually after a certain amount of time, I know he's only played 7 games, at least you would see something. I saw that throw in Baltimore. The throw in New Orleans that Zach Miller caught, and they called it non-touchdown. But few and far between, I'm not wholly into the Mitch Trubisky is going to be a star type of thing yet. I think he's going to be good, not great.
312-644-6767. If you have a question for Herbie, we will get you an answer. You can also text your question in 67011. A lot of people sharing your love for Chop Packs, by the way. This texter from the 773 says, Herbie, I have friends coming in from New York tomorrow. Which pizza joint should I take them to? Pequod's, Lou's, or Giordano's?
Pequod's.
I agree wholeheartedly with that.
You'll wait a long time, but that's what you need to do. If you want to skip the line, call ahead 45 minutes before, order your pizza, and then take it out. If you don't want to wait for your pizza to be, you know, cooked, and then also you have to wait in line for to be seated and such, but there's no better pizza in the city.
I agree. I don't usually like Pan. This is where Mel and I go. Like it's like her favorite place in the city. And they load up on the toppings too. So you order, you're gonna get a whole bunch of pepperoni or sausage if you order that. It's good pizza. They have, you know what they have there that's you would never think it's great because it's a pizza place? Their wings are amazing.
Never had them.
Order that. My tip. If you're going to Pequod's because you are going to wait a little bit for the pizza to get made,
yeah.
Order wings as an appetizer. You will not be disappointed. 312-644-6767 is the number. River North and Tony. Hey, Tony, you're on Ask Herb.
Thank you, Lawrence. Herb, a longtime admirer of you, longtime admirer. My question is this. If a couple, married couple, engaged, deeply committed, goes away on a vacation to a resort and they're gone on a 1 week vacation, say 2 travel days and then 5 uninterrupted days at the resort. How many times should that couple have relations?
How many
times could the guy expect to, you know, really hit it?
How many days was it again?
Okay, you got a 1 week trip.
Okay.
Two travel days with five uninterrupted days in the middle. So the travel days are hectic.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But
it's five
quality days to do whatever you guys want. And the whole point of the trip, you know, you're going to get away, do something a little different.
Yeah. All 5 days. I mean,
asked and answered, counselor.
You're in a hotel. Is there anything better? Those beds are always top notch, usually, especially if you're in a resort.
Oh my God.
You're getting away, presumably, from your kids, uninterrupted. This is probably a time to do some things that you haven't done in a long time. Show your wife, and she can show you that you really appreciate it.
Oh my goodness. This guy says calling ahead of Giordano's doesn't work. We weren't talking about Giordano's. We were talking about Pequod's. So.
Yeah, I mean.
Thanks for listening, jerk.
I like Giordano's, but it's probably, if I had to list them, like four.
No, there's nothing wrong with Giordano's.
No,
I actually like Lou's thin crust better than the deep dish. But
if I had to rank them now, it would be like Pequod's, then Lou's. And Lou's and Paisano's are like the same place, so I'll put them one, like two and three, and then four Giordano's.
So see, there you go. You're getting all sorts of tips. A tweep asked, this is from Joe. Joe says, Herbie, when the White Sox are good again, will Jose Abreu be part of it?
No, he will not be part of it. Not as a player, at least. That's why I want them to trade him as soon as possible. He's already, 31 years old in the age that he's telling us. So you could see some wear and tear already with him. That big-time slump in June wasn't very encouraging. So you need to get the maximum value for Jose Abreu. I wish they would have traded in the offseason. Same thing with Avi. Love these guys. But we could see that this is not going to be next year. This is not going to be 2020. It's probably going to be 2021. And by that time, I think Jose is going to be outside of his contract, and he's going to demand a decent amount of money. And we have a lot of players that can play that first base slash DH spot much better than he can defensively. And then we'll need to play some people other places because we got Micah Rodolfo's need to play somewhere in the outfield or first base. We got Eloy needs to play somewhere.
You're already getting Adolfo to the major leagues
by 2021? Yeah.
After the injury?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We need Lubob to play somewhere. Just a lot of people. Rutherford to play somewhere. There's going to be no room for the man.
Okay.
He's great, but
you know Micah Rodolfo's my guy.
I know
but
that.
I feel like you have to restart the clock with an injury that significant. But whatever. We'll see. He's having a great start until he got hurt. 815 Texas says, Herb, is Bryce Harper coming to the Cubs next year?
No. I jokingly asked, like Hawk asked about Ken Griffey Jr., where are you going to play him? But that's a real question. Where are you going to play him? Jason Hayward, even if he wasn't playing well, he still has a big contract. He's not going to opt out. He's in right field. You see what Albert Almora has done in center field. He's your center fielder for the future. And Kyle Schwarber is making hitting bombs in the All-Star game, or in the All-Star home run hitting contest.
Well, he's also throwing people out. He's been better defensively this year in left field. He's not perfect. The problem with Schwarber is that he looks clumsy.
Yes.
Like he's getting the stuff done, but it just doesn't look great.
Yeah, and I think the money can be spent better. Bryce is a star. I don't think he's a $400 million star that you want to dedicate all that type of money to. I think I would rather just keep that money, pocket it, and when Chris Bryant comes up, you give that money to him. I think they're fine offensively. You don't need to have any extra moves next year. And I know people love Bryce Harper. He's a star. He's good.
He's got a dog named Wrigley, Herb.
But there's no room for him.
He's best friends with Chris Bryant.
And the Cubs are fine the way they are. Don't mess up the momentum that's going right now for the Cubs. Remember that Milwaukee thing? You remember early in the season, that Pittsburgh thing? People were like, man, Pittsburgh's great. Where are they at now? You remember people were worrying like 2 weeks ago about the Brewers? Where are they at now?
In second place, behind by 2.5 games like that.
I keep on telling you people, you Cub fans, stop worrying. The Cubs have a great brass. They have great management. They're going to be fine. They're going to be in the playoffs. You guys are just irritating. To a Sox fan, you're the most irritating people in the world because you have everything you want in the world and you still bitch about it. It's irritating as hell.
You're still unhappy. It doesn't make any sense. Orland Park and Ray. Hey, Ray, you're on Ask Herb. What's your question?
Good evening, gentlemen. With the Jabari Parker signing, what's the Bulls starting five going to look like next season?
Dunn, Levine, Parker, Markkanen, Carter.
You think that's the five? It'll be Rolo, though, early, right?
I hope not. Just put the kid out there. You need a guy who's going to be rim protecting.
I agree, but they love their vets.
They do.
Joe Knowles tweeted in something for you.
Okay.
What's the best restaurants in San Diego?
The best. I didn't go to many except for like mission-style burrito places. Which one did I go to that I enjoyed? Oh, there's a place called Little Shack of Carnitas or Carnitas something. It's in North Park, but it just served little tacos and carnitas. And then, of course, there's a Crack Shack, which is down in Little Italy, served fried chicken. Lines way down the line, way down the street. It's like a 10-piece of chicken for like $28. It seems extreme, but it's worth it. It's right there on the, about 5 or 6 blocks away from the ocean. Crack Shack. Nice. Little Italy.
Mike, do I need to break? I'm like so uncomfortable that we've just like, I mean, I'm comfortable. I would much rather do this where we can be like commercial free. I just want to make sure that we're, I'll do this one.
Here. There it is. It's Carnitas Snack Shack.
Here, I'll do this. This segment being brought to you by Dell. Dell Small Business Technology Advisors know there's nothing small about your business. They provide one-on-one partnership and reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors. Call 1-877-BUY-DELL. So we're good, Mike? I can keep rolling with Herbie here? All right. I'm good with that. Out to Nashville and Matt. Hey, Matt, you're on Ask Herb. What's your question for Herbie?
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Well, here's my question is, do you think Sammy and the Cubs are ever going to see eye to eye? And are they ever going to accept him back? Or what's the deal with him?
Seems like the Cubs are playing hardball with that. Seems like Sammy will have to do a mea culpa to them, which still doesn't make any sense because they didn't own the team at the time when he was hitting home runs. And Sammy, I keep on saying, Sammy is partially the reason why the Cubs will never go back down to being a bad team. Because he brought crowds in there in 98. He brought crowds in there from the time he played from the 90s until the time he left in 2004. Those crowds were because of Sammy and his excitement that he brought to the table. I, as a Sox fan, knew that he was doing something untoward. That was probably a little jealousy because we got George Bell and he sucked. But every Sox fan that you know was like, man, Sammy's doing something. And now all you Cub fans are new. It's like, well, he was doing steroids. I don't like him. I don't like that Sammy Sosa. He corked that bat that time. And also, he left the clubhouse early. You're the same people that in that damn ballpark 3 million strong cheering Sammy. Now you're all new about Sammy? You know, oh, man, I didn't like how he left the clubhouse. I was mad then.
Kerry Wood doesn't like him, so that means I don't like him.
Yeah, don't act all new. You were cheering. You were having a good time. You had White Sox fans telling you that man's doing steroids, PEDs.
You were out there doing the hop.
Exactly. Telling people everything about Sammy is good. Everything's great. And I, you know the best part about the Sammy Sosa White Sox Cubs thing? Is when Jose Valentin hit that home run versus the Cubs, and then he did the Sammy Sosa into the camera.
That was great.
I was like, man, that's great. It's the opposite. Now I'm a big-time Sammy Sosa fan because most of the Cub fans I know are like, nah, keep him away from the Cubs. And when you go to Wrigley Field, like, does Sammy ever play here? Because I don't see any banners. I keep on seeing, like, bums like Jason Marquis wearing his number and Junior Lake. That number should be retired. That's like the top five player in Cub history. And we treat him like a garbage bum.
This is why we love Asper. He's got some opinions. We're going to take a break. We'll do another short segment with Herbie. If you got a question, get in now. 312-644-6767 is the number. You can text us at 67011. You can hit me up on Twitter as well. At Lawrence W. Holmes is where you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. Ask Herb continues after this right here on The Score. We're in the middle of Ask Herb here on The Score. Herb Lawrence is here in the building. My name is Lawrence Holmes. We're here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. So I got a few more minutes with Herbie. Question from a tweep who wants to know, who's your least favorite Illini of all time?
It's tough to say. Let me see. I used to not like Robert Archibald, like his first 2 years, because he was garbage. Then he like worked on his game his junior and senior year. Man, I was like, Robert Archibald's my man. The actual person, it's probably Mark Smith. Freshman that came in last year, he was the highly touted Mr. Basketball. Got outworked by Trent Frazier, got salty about it, left the school and went to Missouri to go and lose again.
That's fair. All right. This from Jeremy.
Five in a row.
Who tweets us, Herb, my kids are all going to be bigger and stronger than me in a few years. How can I remain intimidating to them so they don't laugh when I tell them they're grounded?
I mean, you're still the man of the house. You still have, their phone bills and have their clothes on their back, the house that they live in. You threaten them that way. That's what my mom always did. I was at by 10, she used to stop spanking me because she knew that didn't hurt, and I was much bigger than her at that time. And then she would just say, hey, you want to keep on living here? You do what I say, 100%. If you don't, you can go out in those streets and work it out yourself. That got me flying right and sitting straight, because not only did she do that with, I think, my middle sister, like my middle sister didn't live with us for a couple of years, like 3 or 4 years, because they weren't getting along, and so she wouldn't live with my aunt. So I kind of learned like that wasn't just a threat that she wasn't going to go through with. I was going to be on the streets, live with my aunt.
It's you gotta know when to.
And dude, if these kids try to intimidate you, physically, just say, hey, you go ahead. If we fighting, you leaving. Nobody's going to be in my house beating me up and stay in my house rent free. That's kind of what my mom said.
Out to DeKalb and Randy. Randy, you're on Ask Her. What's your question for Herbie?
Hey, good afternoon. Good evening, actually, Lawrence. How are you, man? Love your show.
Thanks.
Herbie, I was just wondering if you love poking the Les Grobstein Tiger as much as I love listening to it.
I don't like poking it. Like, just Les says some things that, get on my nerves.
You do have a logical argument. You do take a logical side. He seems to go off the rails, but I mean, it makes for great radio. Keep it up, brother.
As any of my exes know, there's nothing I love more than being right. And there's nothing I hate more than hearing something wrong that's not getting corrected. So if I say something wrong, and if I misspeak, or if I type something wrong, hit me up on Twitter. Do it a polite way. Hey, man, you really messed this up. You need to say this instead. And I like that. I liked being corrected. And I think other people like that, too. And so when Les says that Jim McMahon is the best quarterback in Bears history, and I say that's garbage because Jay Cutler is much better than Jim McMahon, we have a little argument and never get settled because Les is a single-focused guy. He's like, Jim McMahon was the best. That guy cannot get passed up. Michael Jordan's the best. That guy can never get passed up. And then when you bring stats to the table, he's like, nah, sabermetrics garbage. And I'm like, well, Les, this actually says that, LeBron James was more efficient than Jordan was in that final. So I don't like doing it like as specifically to Les. I like doing it to anybody. Everybody knows that.
It's true.
Everybody knows that I'm kind of a jerk about that.
It's 100% right or 100% wrong about things. That's what Herbie does. Deerfield and Pete, you're on Ask Herb. What's your question for Herbie?
Hey, guys. Herb Yellow. And Lawrence, I got all kinds of love for you guys. I have Illini love, 1999, and I've got like just radio love for you guys. This week has been like driveway radio. I commute home with you guys all the time, and Sierra Santos kept me in the car sitting in the driveway the other night, and I was on the phone with Herb the other last night as well. This week has just been awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Awesome. Way to go.
Thank you, sir.
So my question is, both of you guys, I just want to hear your reaction to the Milwaukee Brewers, all the hater nonsense that came out about him. And, like, specifically, I'll ask you, like, if you're his teammate and you're sitting in a clubhouse with a guy and all of this stuff comes to light in the media in the last day or two, how are you looking across the room at this guy?
And if I could hear the dolphin sound bite one more time, that would really make me chuckle. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks a lot. Bye.
I thought most of his stuff was from rap lyrics. Still not acceptable. If I know Hader before all these things came out, and I think he's a good guy, like it seemed like Lozo Kane and Jim Jeffress or whatever his name said that he was a good guy otherwise, I would admonish him, hey, man, never, ever, 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 ever say, speak, write, type, any of that stuff ever again. And I know the type of character you are, and this is surprising to me that, you know, you're kind of this guy, but I'm going to go forward with the relationship, and you're kind of on, you know, thin ice right now. But hearing or seeing the man write, you know, the N-word on his tweets, which I don't understand why anybody puts that. Black, white, indifferent.
Or the white power tweet.
Yeah.
Or the Trayvon KKK. Martin stuff, which was in 2016, and it wasn't when he was 17 years old, because people have been trying to give him that out all day.
I think we've spoke about the, you know, the thing about baseball kind of being either big-time Latino, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rican, Venezuelan, or big-time neck.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think they've already dealt with a lot of people who are, you know, don't believe in equality, don't believe in black people and white people playing together, and they come from a certain area where, you know, it's accepted. Hopefully Josh Hader gets some people around him and meets some people. That's what you need. You need to meet some people who are different than you so you can realize that you're not better than them, they're not better than you, and they're just people. So hopefully through this lesson, Josh Hader gets to meet some other people and say, you know what, I had some foolish moments about the white power, the KKK, Trayvon Martin. I've met some people who are different than me. Now I believe that we're all equal.
Herbie, as always, I appreciate it. Thank you for Ask Her.
Thank you for having me again.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, there was some stuff that happened in the Jabari Parker press conference that I wanted to put into context with a conversation I had last night with Vincent Goodwill. We'll do that next here on The Score. Coach Fitz and the Wildcats host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Illinois, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. Also, this segment being brought to you by Lakeside Bank. Why do banks make banking so incredibly complicated? At Lakeside Bank, they make banking incredibly easy. No hoops to jump through. Their bankers have the experience and the authority to get things done. Fast, whatever you need. Join them. Lakeside Bank, it's about time. So, last night, Vincent Goodwill was on the show, and he didn't blaspheme a lot. He blasphemed a little bit, but he didn't blaspheme a lot. We got into a pretty good conversation about the idea of playing at home and whether you'd want that. It's been something that I've been discussing over the last few weeks, and with the Jabari Parker thing, I worry about anyone who's from here that comes back and plays here. Vincent and I discussed that in Derrick Rose last night.
I think it could be better for the Bulls than it could be for Jabari, if that makes sense.
How so?
Because, like you were talking earlier about last year's Jabari look, you know, he basically had to get his numbers, you know, coming off of injury. You had another guy like that here in Zach LaVine, and you're having two ACLs. You know, the Derrick Rose situation still lingers with me a little bit. Of the hometown kid whose body betrayed him. And yeah, he made some mistakes along the way, but it seemed like the city almost turned on him.
It's one of the things that I think that Jabari is better prepared than Derrick was to deal with some of this stuff. But I actually threw this out on the air. I was talking about this. I'd rather be Curtis Granderson. I'd rather be the guy from Chicago who is going out doing great things. And then in the summer and in the winter, I come back here, I give money, and it's great. Like, everyone's excited for me. You know, I'd rather be that than the guy who's from here who plays here.
Because
I think there's a lot that goes into that.
And Chicago is unlike any other city, and I'm exploring to do some things, and I'll talk to you about that later. But Chicago's very insular. and the level of expectation that Chicago has for its own, independent of any other circumstance, can be a little unrealistic. Like, Derrick Rose's body gave out on him. And I'm still stuck. And I was covering the Pistons at the time, okay? So, and I know we're talking about Jabari, but this is my frame of reference. Derrick Rose, everybody's saying Derrick Rose should have come back that season after, correct? And Derrick's thing was, privately, I would assume, I don't want to come back because I'm afraid I'll get hurt. You know, well, this team's a championship team. You should come back. Well, no, you got to come back when you're ready. So what happens when he comes back? The whole next season later, 10 games in, he gets hurt. So is he not justified by his body breaking down 10 games into the next season? Had he come back 6 months previously, wouldn't that have meant his body would have broken a whole lot sooner? Like, the common sense of it, to me, it rankles me because I'm not from Chicago and I wasn't covering the Bulls at the time. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was so much common sense there that I felt like people were missing, because if you maybe you're too close to it, maybe you think you've seen something. But if a guy says, basically, I'm kind of worried about getting hurt, and then when he comes back 6 months later and gets hurt, shouldn't that justify his fears?
I do. I do think that one of the things that bothered me about the Derrick thing, and it's a little bit of a bigger issue. I'm a big proponent of patient advocacy. And some of this has to do with my own struggles with Crohn's disease and having a couple surgeries here and there. That the relationship that you have with a doctor is really important. It's why I'm not mad at Yu Darvish. That if Yu Darvish, for whatever reason, doesn't click with the Cubs doctor, that the Cubs doctor is saying, well, I think that you're probably at this point. And Darvish is saying, something doesn't feel right yet. Then there's a disconnect. And if he needed to get a second opinion from someone else, I'm all for it. And with me, it was the same thing with Derrick. We can push and push someone to come back because we think, well, we know that an ACL tear is an 8 to 12 month injury. Okay. We all know that that's a guideline, but there are things outside the margins. Some guys come back quicker. Adrian Peterson, for example, comes back quicker and you go, wow, that's incredible. Some guys need a little bit longer to come back from some of this stuff. And some guys, it takes a while to understand that you're different.
Right.
Like, you used to be invincible, and now you're not invincible. So trying to navigate that, I think, is really difficult. And I think it was difficult for Derrick to do. And I think it was made more difficult because he's a kid from Inglewood. That if he wasn't, if he was, you know, Derrick Rose, who grew up in Baltimore, the pressure on him would not have been as great. But because people saw him as this scion, you know, this young cat.
He was so much more symbolic than he was himself. He became whatever people wanted him to be in that moment. And you know what? That is a dangerous place to be. Because you can never carve out your own mentality or write your own story for yourself, because you mean so much to so many different people. And depending on who these people are, they can control how your story is written. And yeah, of course, we all know that Derrick has his warts and certain things that he said in the public didn't always, you know what I'm saying, make the best of sense. But when you just get down to the basics of it, man, this is whoever gets to write this story, this documentary, whatever it is, that's going to be a very enriched man, because there's a lot of different layers you have to attack it.
For sure.
And then you bring in a guy like Jabari, who grew up idolizing Derrick, had the same surgery twice. And now you're putting him in a situation where he's not playing his natural position. He's going to be exposed defensively. You're putting him next to a guy in Lauri Markkanen, who the franchise has anointed as, you know, the guy or someone close to it. So if his recovery or his play takes away from Lowry's development, then how are people going to look at Jabari Parker, who's already going to be in a position that's not naturally his own? That's my 300,000 foot view of it. Now, it can work for the Bulls because they'll be relevant, you know, and they have talent, and they're not, you know what I'm saying, this bottom rung team, there's going to be a certain level of expectation that I'm not sure will be fair, but there will be a certain level of expectation. To me, it's almost like it's just setting up for the house of cards to come down.
Well, I hope that you work on something like this and get it done, because I just think that it's really difficult. Not that you always have a choice. In this case, Jabari had one, but the choice is either someone's going to give me $40 million or they're not going to give me $40 million. So if that's the choice, then I choose the door with the $40 million. But if everything is equal, I would have a hard time playing here. I would have a real hard time being from here. It would be uncomfortable to play here. Not just because of the pressure that it puts on yourself, but the pressure it puts on your friends and family. That would kill me.
But the crazy thing is, it's almost like one of those things where it's great in theory, where people say, yes, you should come home, and it'll be great to have you back. And these are friends and family saying, it's like his friends and family wanted him to be back. And there's something comforting about being back in that cocoon, except you're not necessarily looking at the potential back end of it. And I think Jabari can have a good to great individual season and still have things not work out because of the construct of this particular team. Like, he's a victim of himself, and he's a victim of timing. Like, he's a victim of Giannis Antetokounmpo,
right,
you know, coming, and Chris Middleton coming right behind him. And, whoa, where do I fit in all this?
That was last night. It was a really good conversation with Vincent Goodwill, part of Guest Week, a Guest Week that has been great so far. We're going to take a timeout. Cameron Smith is here. He goes way back with Jabari Parker. We're not going to spend the entire hour with Cam talking about that, but we will talk a little bit about it. So stick around. If you haven't heard Cam before, he's great. He's an SIU guy, used to play basketball there. He's been working in this town for a while, and I really enjoy him, and I think you will too. We'll do that next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.